What a gift it is to get to be together as a church family today. Thank you to each person who has led us in worship so far and to each person who has participated in worship already. I wonder, is this globe right side up or upside down? What about now? Right side up or upside down? Last week, we thought about what we think about, seeking to be transformed by conforming our thoughts to Christ, whose mind, Scripture says, is the head of the church. Head of the church. We practiced letting Christ guide our thinking. And so as we continue practicing this today, and it is a mental workout, I've been exhausted by it this week. It's like a calisthenics of the mind, a growing in flexibility and strength and grace and endurance. And God invites us to add another layer today. Examples of living transformed. Because when the body of Christ figures out that Christ is the authority and the mind, then people's lives are transformed, as we'll see. Well, in effect, Jesus is giving his first inaugural address as leader of the galaxy. And briefly, here are a few keys to unlocking his first words. Key number one. Notice how Jesus begins his sermon. First, the crowds, and we sang about this, they gather around Jesus' feet to listen. May I do so more and more. And second, credit here goes to scholar Frederick Dale Bruner, who said, the Beatitudes must first be heard as grace, or they won't be heard correctly. Jesus doesn't begin with law, but blessing. Law follows grace. Key number two, we get tripped up on this word blessed for a whole variety of reasons. Jesus does not mean happy are the poor in spirit. There's something incarnational happening in this word blessed that means Jesus is with those who are poor in spirit. Jesus is on the side of those who are poor in spirit. Well, hold on a minute. We've been taught that the blessed are the wealthy, the powerful, the famous, the achievers. Is Jesus wrong? Do his words not apply anymore? Or let's name the distortion that can happen in religious circles, which says, blessed are those who act the most holy, or who sing the loudest, or who can pray for 60 seconds without taking a breath, or who seem to have it all together. And there's several Mennonite versions of who we believe that God blesses. And yet Jesus shows us the most excellent way. Jesus births the church into a world where we twist around breached, feet first instead of head first, and our feet flail and we run and race instead of following Christ, our head. We are not saved by what we do ever. We are saved by God's grace, always. Saved by grace because of God's love. The first four of the Beatitudes are not ones that we set out to do in order to get a blessing. We don't say, well, I'd like a blessing from God today. I think I'll go out and mourn for a while, right? Jesus is saying, this is what my new covenant creation is like, that when we mourn, we're comforted. Jesus has a special compassion for the downtrodden. There is no depth that we have that is deeper than God's love. None. None. Let God love you. I wonder how many of us here remember Phoebe Brenneman just by a show of hands. Oh, it's well over half of us. And many more online, I'm sure. Yes, David and Linda, I see you. You too. You remember Phoebe. I would like to share a story written by Tony's mother, Phoebe, a longtime member of this congregation who passed away on October 13. And I invite us to listen for or even count the people in this story who experience God's grace and transformation, people who are examples of beatitudes. Listen for someone who is merciful or who has shown mercy, a peacemaker. There's someone there who is hungering and thirsting for righteousness, someone mourning or poor in spirit, someone who is meek, and several who are comforted. Notice what God is doing in people's lives. And before we start, last week I shared Zion's Team Covenant that guides how we seek to live in relationship. It is on the back table if you missed it. I'm going to use number 10 on our Team Covenant as a prayer for our listening. It says, we will seek to encourage one another in our daily work and relationships and hold each other accountable to the commitments we have set for ourselves. May that be so. This is part of a letter that Phoebe wrote to her son Tim at college in May 1979. On Sunday morning, they announced in church that 8 volunteers were needed from this area to go to Jackson, Mississippi for flood cleanup work. A Mennonite disaster service bus would be leaving from the Pike Church at 5:30 the next morning. Immediately, I knew I wanted to go. Now, Phoebe's husband, Dewey, couldn't get away, but he agreed to cover all of Phoebe's responsibilities and commitments for that week. Phoebe said it was hard to go alone. She packed late, slept a little, and several from the community met the bus with an assorted mix of Anabaptist travelers from Pennsylvania. This is what they call foreshadowing. In the dark, they thought the bus looked okay. Phoebe said the first crisis was the old crate of a bus not starting. The men rallied around the driver, who she nicknamed Moses. And after the long difficulties of getting the bus to go backwards so that they could get out of the parking lot, and after Phoebe discovered they didn't really have a bus driver, they had 3 very willing, good-natured older men who had driven farm vehicles. Phoebe said, she hadn't known the Lord was asking me to place my life on the line when I said I would go. After more bus challenges, including gears not shifting on Route 11, Phoebe prayed, please, Lord, dispatch a fleet of angels who are mechanics. Just one won't be enough. She described feeling like a left-out misfit and crazy for doing this. After an adversary made a profit off of them and the screws holding the universal of the bus broke off and Moses took long strips of bed sheets to fasten the universal back on, Phoebe's prayer was, Lord, please dispatch an extra host of guardian angels. It would be nice to have at least one whose specialty is holding sheets around broken Greyhound universals. Barreling into a garage that catered to the elite, Paul jumped off the bus and panted, we're Mennonites. We go around helping people. Phoebe says, it was very clear they didn't want our help. The annoyed, stylishly dressed salesman tried in various ways to tell us we were at the wrong place. Phoebe writes, I can't go on without putting in an extra word for Moses. He had crawled around that old bus for 4 hours and was black with grease, but was still smiling making quiet, reassuring comments. I never once sensed any irritation or tight nerves. One afternoon, as they searched for the next place to work in an area where all the houses had been flooded, the bus, of course, lost all air in its brakes, but it was right in front of the house that they were looking for. Phoebe writes, "Hall Hess, our very capable Lancaster man, went in first and found a very distraught lady in there alone. Her husband was an amputee with emphysema, and she had very high blood pressure. We washed down walls, and they all had to be disinfected. I helped her wash off her canned things and pack them in boxes. They tore out the flooring. Their loan will cost them close to 8% interest." The woman who owned the house said, "A lady at the hospital where I work said I should come home and read John 3:16. I had just finished reading it when you came to the door. She told me this several times, and so I asked her, 'Was it hard to believe God loves you like the verse says, when you looked here and saw all that had happened to you?' And she said, 'No, I believe it's all for a purpose.' Before we left, I opened her Bible to Psalm 46 and suggested she read that. Then Larry, two other fellows, and I joined hands with her, and we prayed together. Our eyes were all wet when we finished. She turned and grabbed me with a big bear hug, crying and telling what we had meant to her. And next she grabbed the old order Mennonite boy. He was dumbfounded. He let his arms hang loose and obviously wished that the floor would swallow him. The most beautiful mental picture I brought home with me was when she got to Larry. Larry welcomed her with open arms and hugged her warmly. He had been moved by her need and worked like crazy to do all that he could. To see that dedicated young fellow and this very broken woman embracing in the midst of that gutted outhouse was almost too much. This scene symbolized Mennonite disaster service at its very best. We also helped a retired couple who owned a small home and a little greenhouse. The flood had gone to the ceiling in both. The morning we arrived, the lady was in the greenhouse, tackling it alone. She wandered around crying against nothing but a jumble of upside-down tables, pots, mud, and rotten plants. It was amazing what was accomplished there in one day, and by the time we left, she was laughing and feeling much better. Her husband had heart trouble and couldn't work, but he was there with us. He said, "I had lost faith in everybody, but today I have regained it." Phoebe adds a note at the end of her story that says, "Now, as I review this story in August 2002, I wish I had done more MDS work. We no longer have the energy for this kind of thing. Gift and thrift seems tame by comparison, but is of no less value in God's eyes. We're thankful we have the opportunity to give, even at this age." How many people did you notice living the Beatitudes? This vast diversity of people, many grounded in humility, discovered God's new creation by grace. God is still making all things new. So when we wonder whether we are included in God's world, remember these people. As the church, we have a different identity, a different set of habits, a different habit of relationships. Because the Beatitudes practice right relationship with both one another and with God. The Beatitudes tell us that when we are weak by the standards of this world, when all around us looks to be upside down, when we are persecuted and alone and empty, Christ is ever so close. And sometimes that shows up through one another. The Beatitudes show that if we are not what the world calls weak, then we are to show up and be people who are, to be with people who are, by God's grace. The kingdom of God is not blessed are the rich or the snooty or the proud or the bossy or the ones who know the most or act the most holy or who do this or that or anything else that is not with Christ and through Christ and for Christ. The creation that Jesus began, that is expanding even today, is seen in the prayers and the hugs and the grime and the tears and the peace of God's people. The same God who created the world is recreating lives. Servants, you and me, dust, are still God's choice for creation and salvation. May we be a church with Christ at the center more and more. Because living transformed lives is possible. Messy, yes. Imperfect, absolutely. By grace, always. Living Jesus-rooted is not about our abilities, it is about God's. And Zion knows this well. May we live it more and more. Let's pray together. God, we give thanks that in your new creation, you are with us when we suffer, many times through others who have suffered. And the circle continues and expands as more and more come to know your transformative power and love and suffering and new life. I thank you, God, for the way you are present today in our midst. Root our commitment now, our community now to Christ, that we may serve you each day by your grace. We give you thanks. Amen.